This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run with Kusu Chuang, Noel Lim, and myself, Shazana Mokhtar. Decades of sweeping educational reforms have done little to improve Malaysia's social mobility, let alone train a new generation that's equipped with the right skills to build a productive economy. Our education system is already beset with multiple challenges, which has only been exacerbated by the pandemic, as we have seen key education metrics regress.
Well, on average, 80% of classroom time has been lost globally, and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, warns that disruption in schooling will lead to severe learning and economic losses. Now, the Malaysian Education Blueprint 2013-2025 was developed for a sustainable transformation of the country's education system.
And with just 4 years left, I think a shot in the arm is certainly critical for it to make up for lost time. So today we assess the progress of the 11th Malaysian Plan and also see what should be in the 12th Plan.
So to share his perspective on this issue of education and how we improve it in Malaysia, we have Datuk Sri Idris Jalla, CEO of Pemandu Associates. Datuk Sri, welcome to the show. Thanks for speaking with us today. Now, you were a minister at the inception of the National Education Blueprint. In your experience with all the past Malaysia plans from the 9th to now the 11th, how aligned have these development plans been with the National Education Blueprint?
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. I always feel, and I looking at previous plans, they are always aligned with the education blueprint. There's, in my mind, there is nothing wrong with the blueprint. There's nothing wrong with the alignment. Because the plans, they're only talking about high-level strategies. They never get into operational details. And so the problem is not about the strategies, nor about the plan. It's all problems about implementation. How good we are in implementing the plans. Therein lies the crux of the problem.
Well, Dr. Sri, we understand that there are so many elements needed to uplift our education system, but focusing on just financial allocation, what do you hope to see in the 12th Malaysia Plan with respect to education?
I think the thing that's always missing there is the operational plan. So the words are all right. The strategic intent, the direction's all right. But, you know, when you really look at the details, they don't do that. No strategic five-year plans anywhere on earth cover operational plans. And to my mind, we shouldn't expect a lot from the 12th Malaysia plan because they are not going to be any different from the previous plan. But the question we have to ask is how good we are in implementing whatever good blueprint. The current blueprint has nothing wrong with it in my mind. And they are very good. It's all about how we get down to implementing this properly.
Why do we struggle with implementation apart from the fact we don't have an operational plan? And why is it that we don't have an operational plan?
I think the implementation plans are fraught with difficulties. You recall when I was in government, we had a very simple idea that we wanted to rank all the schools. And we went to rank the schools and we know which school is number one, which school is number 1,000. And then we were looking at that as a way to say which are the best performing schools. So we identified the top 1% of the schools. Really, when you ask the question, how come all the schools in Malaysia have the same facilities, the same curriculum, the same teacher pay? How come these top schools are doing so well? The question arising here is that the principals are really doing their job. The teachers are doing their job every day. The parents are getting their kids to do their homework. The kids are studying. A very simple idea of four constellation, totally aligned. It's not rocket science, really. When you really think hard about it, you know, some of the top performing schools, there's one school in Limbang, Sekolah Ulu Lubai, one of the best high performing primary schools. They have dilapidated buildings and the facilities are poor, but they're one of the best high-performing schools. So it's not so much about the budget. It's about what the teachers do. And there's a school here, Sri KDU, for example, is one of the best schools in Malaysia in terms of TIMSS and PISA exams. And when you really go there, and I visited that school, I saw Datin Chan, who was the principal. You know what she does? She gets all the teachers to come to the classroom during the school break, and they spend a whole 2 weeks during the school holiday to prepare for the next term. 2 weeks of preparation, yeah. So that they know exactly what they're going to do on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for the whole term. And so if you don't prepare, then you're not going to turn up and do a very good job amongst the teachers. That's why in Sri Kediyu, the results of the kids are fantastic. They not only sit for the national school curriculum exam, but they also sit for the O-levels, and they do it with flying colours.
Yeah, Dr. Sri, but I also understand that Sri KDU follows a Singapore math curriculum, and that could explain why their PISA scores are, you know, through the roof. But can I just also understand, why is it that some teachers, some schools are more motivated than others? It seems to me it is the school leadership. Are we doing enough to increase the capacity of school leaders?
I think that the key lever here is leadership of the principals. And I do believe that the leadership is the biggest lever to pull. So if you get, don't hear me, I mean, because I'm not an expert in education. You know what you should do now in the whole of Malaysia, we should go and ask the principals of those high performing schools, how do they do it? And they are the ones who can tell the rest of the schools how to do it. So I visited a school in Sekolah Kebangsaan in PJ, Taman Mega, and Madam Koo is the principal there. She's just like Datin Chan. Madam Koo is doing the same thing. Cikgu Jaul, who is in Sekolah Ulu Lubai. I mean, these guys are really passionate about one thing and one thing alone. They get the teachers to focus on teaching, not cutting the grass in the school, not beautifying the school, but really focusing on pedagogy.
All right.
Methods of teaching.
Right.
And if you focus on methods of teaching as the primary lever to pull and monitor that the teachers do it every single day, then you will find the results coming out. There are many principals that I know, they focus on things that's nothing to do with methods of teaching and how the teachers teach, but they're doing other extracurricular activities, getting the kids to go out and camping and all those of other things that are not really focusing on the things that really matter.
Okay, so teachers and having them focus on teaching and pedagogy is really important. I think another thing the pandemic has revealed is just how important digital infrastructure is in times when, you know, we're supposed to work from home and not able to actually go physically to school. So what do you think? What kind of investment in digital infrastructure specifically for education needs to be made that you'd want to see in the 12th MP?
I think the four things that's needed. The first one is we need to have an education system that allows for us to use the system to connect. And Malaysia already has one. It's called One Vistari Net. In fact, it's the same thing as they use in the UK called Frog. The second thing that's needed, and this is very important, that when you have a system, you must put the right content. Get the best teachers to put their teaching methods in the system. And I repeat, get the best teachers to put their teaching methods in the system. So if you don't do this, it's like having a beautiful, you know, television, but you don't have a good content. And nobody's going to watch the show. The third thing is needed is giving broadband access with the right speed to all schools and students. Of course, this is going to be a struggle in rural education and rural schools. Now giving access to devices. And the students must have all the right devices. So 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the kinds of things I said. But I would say today, putting the right content is the most important. We have Frog, we have One Vistari, it's good. But we're not putting enough content on teaching methods. In fact, there's a professor at Harvard. His name is Professor Rimmer. He did extensive research all over the world. And the data showed that in all the research, it's teaching method that has or pedagogy has the single biggest impact on student outcome.
Well, that's the issue, Dato' Sri, because you know what we've seen, and I'm not sure whether the blueprint covers this, is the pandemic has forced students to study from home, and that's been very, very challenging. I've got two school-going kids, so I know how tough it is. The transition back to school and the new formats underlying that, what is your gut feel on how it should be done?
I think there are very simple things that you need to get people who are very good at doing the digital forms of teaching to tell you how to do it. I think the problem with Malaysia, we tend to complicate things, make things very difficult. If you talk to people who know how to do it and really codify this and put it down, that's the way to do it. So
That's the thing. This is very, very new to everybody. So how do you find people who are good at this when it's never happened before?
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, you will have to sit down and get some people to really, really query the methods in which they do it. So you get some of the best teachers that you think are good teachers. I would say get the best geography teacher, the best, and get some IT people to sit with them and say, how do you put out your methods of teaching into one Bestari net?
All right,
so that the other teachers can use the same methods of teaching geography and teaching mathematics.
All right, Datuk Sri, thank you so much for your reflections on how we can improve our education system ahead of the 12th Malaysia Plan.
Yeah, so I think some really very pertinent views here. I think school leadership, it is like the number one thing, right? But I also want to mention that parents, actually parents are one of the biggest influencers of their child's education outcomes, and this is proven in research globally. But yet, actually, parent engagement is actually one of the most underinvested areas in reforming education, and I can understand why, because family development doesn't often come under the Ministry of Education. But I think it's something that policymakers need to look into more seriously.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.